Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Friday's edition of Good Morning Live. I pray you are having an amazing day so far today. I have never been as nervous to do. I've never been so nervous to do a live as I am today because Bobby, my youngest, is in the room with me today. So his daycare center is having a teacher in service day or something like that. And so he's at church with dad today. And if you know anything about Bobby, he's in love with coming to daddy's church. So all he talks about is every day he wants to go to daddy's church. He wants to go to daddy's church. So this morning when I got to tell him that you're not going to daycare, you're going with me to daddy's church. Man, he was through the roof excited. So I gave him a pop, a thing of Coke, and an iPad. Don't judge me. And I'm praying that we can get through the next 30 minutes together in peace. A few minutes ago, he was over in one of the other offices here. We have these massive black bags that we're putting all of our Easter eggs in and to store them for next year. And I thought, okay, even if he's over there playing, you know, he'll be okay. But I go over there and these bags are stacked four on top of each other. And he's standing on top of all four of them. So I said, that's not going to work, Bobby. So anyway, so thanks for being on with me today. Good morning, Lindsay. Good morning, Cheryl. Thanks so much for hopping in. So I want to jump into the word because God only knows how long we have. So as long as a pop-up and an iPad lasts. So yesterday, we started talking about something that I just kind of keeps turning in my spirit. So I want to pick up on it a little bit more today. And today I want to talk about breaking cycles and unhealthy patterns, breaking cycles and unhealthy patterns. I don't know about you, but have you ever found yourself saying, like I have many, many times, well, here I go again, right? Maybe you told yourself you wouldn't fall back into a mindset. Hey, good morning, Tracy. Good to see you. Or you told yourself you wouldn't fall back into an old habit or that relationship, but here you are again. It's okay, buddy. You want to come and say hi? No, you don't want to say hi. It's all right. You got it. All right. Yeah, Cheryl says Bob is king of the hill. Yes, he is. He's looking for that high place. But I don't know about you, but I have found in my life, there's been multiple seasons where it's like, man, I'm back in that old way of thinking again. For instance, let me just be real vulnerable with you here. I have been really working on staying in faith and staying to be a person who's positive and who's in faith and is expecting the blessing to work in my life. You know, when we kind of came through that series of talking about the blessing, I thought, you know, most times I'm not talking blessing or I'm not having the expectation that the blessing's working for me. I'm talking like I'm defeated or I'm talking like this isn't going to work. Hey, good morning, Sue. Good to see you. So I've been really in a place of, you know what? If I really believe the blessing is going to work in my life, I need to start changing my expectation. I need to start walking into the room with the mentality that this is going to work out in my favor. This is going to be good. This is God's in this somewhere. Even if I don't see it, God's working. And I found myself not long ago just kind of walking in thinking, well, you know, I don't know, kind of down in the grumps. And I thought, no, here we go again. That same pattern of thinking, that same pattern that keeps me in that cycle. And I thought, I got to break this pattern. I got to stay in faith. I got to keep expecting. And in any area of your life, like I said, maybe it's a mindset or a habit or a relationship, but you say, here I am again, back in that same loop. A cycle is a repeated behavior, a mindset, a spiritual pattern, anything that keeps you from walking in the freedom that God intends for you to have. And these patterns, man, they can come at us from all different sources. It can be a generational thing, right? You know, that maybe a spiritual generational curse that was, you know, something that's just kind of attacked your family line down the line. Or maybe it's not, you know, sometimes we over spiritualize. Maybe it's just that you saw your dad be angry all the time and you've caught on to that pattern, right? Maybe it's an emotional thing that keeps you in that pattern. You don't have victory over your emotions, but your emotions drive you instead of you driving your emotions. And that keeps you in a pattern of having self-pity or feeling broken all the time, or just seeing yourself always as a victim. Or maybe it's a relational thing, right? Like there's that relational. What is it, buddy? Yep, you have to be quiet. He's reminding me that he has to be quiet by yelling it to me. So I don't know if you can hear all that. The mic does a pretty good job of blocking out background noise. So, but anyway, these patterns can come at us in all different ways and forms. But I believe that God is putting his finger on some patterns and things today to help us break the pattern and break the cycle. I said it to you yesterday, but the older I get, the more I am like, I cannot afford any wasted time. Every day has to count. Every action has to count. Every deed has to count. Why? Because I've spent too many years going through the broken patterns, going through the cycles, wasting times, wasting months, wasting years, walking in things that just don't bring me victory, that keep me bound. And I'm determined to break those cycles in my life. So the first thing you have to do when you're working to break a pattern in your life, something, maybe it's an eating pattern. Come on, I'm there. Maybe it's whatever pattern that you have in your life, is you have to identify the pattern. You have to get real about God. Why am I here? What is the pattern that keeps me in this cycle? What is the thing? What's the trigger? What's the emotion? What's the relationship? What's the spiritual bondage that keeps me in this cycle, never being able to break free from it? Listen to what Judges 2:18 says. It says, whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies. But when the judge died, the people returned to ways even more corrupt than those of their ancestors. What he's talking about here is he's talking about Israel. And Israel had a pattern that many of us fall into. Here's what would happen. They'd be good with God. Over time, Israel would begin to drift away from God. Anytime they drifted away from God, they would always end up in bondage. Their adversaries would come in, overtake them. They'd be back in bondage. They'd be enslaved time and time and time and time again. While they were in slavery, they would cry out to God for help. God being the gracious, miraculous, forgiving, merciful God that he is, he would bring them out of that bondage, bring them back into their homeland. They'd get delivered. They'd be good with God. They'd be celebrating. They'd be rebuilding the temples, rebuilding the old waste places. But time would repeat itself again, and they'd fall right back into the same cycles that they had been in before. They would drift from God. They'd end up in bondage. They'd cry out to God. They'd get delivered. They'd go back. And this was a pattern for Israel over and over and over and over again. And I just think, you know, this was never the will of God for them to constantly be riding on the need for deliverance and the need for breakthrough, because he wanted them to dwell in the land. He wanted them to be his people. He wanted them to serve him. He wanted them to be in victory. He wanted them to be secure. He wanted every enemy to flee before them seven ways. He wanted them to know that their destiny was secure and in his hands. But they were in a cycle where as soon as they got comfortable, as soon as they got into a good place, they would turn from God. Even when Moses brought them out of the wilderness or out of Egyptian bondage, and they had never been delivered like this before, where it was like the plagues and all of that. And this was not necessarily because if you look at the scripture, it says that God turned Pharaoh's heart to cause him to not let his people go. And I don't believe that the plagues were for the Egyptians. I believe that the plagues were for the Israelites, because they needed to see and they needed to know that their God was real. They hadn't heard from him in 400 years. They had been in this repeated cycle. So he demonstrates his power through these plagues coming down, parts the Red Sea for them. Moses goes up on the mountain to talk to God. And what does he come down to find? These same people building an idol, a golden calf, and worshiping it. And it's like, again, standing from the outside, it's like, what is wrong with y'all? God just brought you out. He just demonstrated his power, and already you're falling back into your old patterns. And I know we can stand on the outside of that and judge that, but it is no difference than when we make our mind up and our decision that we're breaking a pattern, we're breaking negative talk, we're breaking those eating patterns. We're going to work out. We're going to be healthy. We're going to be kinder. We're going to change, you know, those emotional patterns, and we're going to break out of those relationships, whatever it is. And suddenly we find ourselves back in, well, Bob's yelling no to me. But so apparently he's in disagreement with whatever I'm saying. It's always easy to judge from the outside, but come on, we've all been there. We've all made up our mind. We've made the decision. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to walk free. I'm going to lay that burden down. I'm going to, you know what? I'm not going to be a distracted parent. I was at a thing at the worship center, and they had a lady there who does the spiritual counseling, and I want to get into her book on the lives here in a few weeks, but she was talking about people who were coming in with trauma and issues, and she said the number one pattern that she saw wasn't absentee parents, but was distracted and flustered parents. And I thought that was powerful, because what was causing more damage in young people and children isn't that their parents weren't there. It's that what the parents who were there were flustered, were anxious, were distracted, were overwhelmed. And it was a pattern, right? So I said to Sarah, come on, we got to be good. If we're expanding the tribe to five, right? If we're going to be, you know, a larger family, we got to get this pattern right. We got to learn. We can't be distracted. We can't be flustered. You know, you're dealing with one kid in one crisis, so then you answer the other one with a sharp tongue. And, you know, it seems like we work on it for a day, and then suddenly, you know, somebody walks in the kitchen. It's like, what? What do you want? And you're like, okay, Jesus, help me, right? But we got to be good at identifying the patterns in our life. How do we get in them? What's brought us here? What are the cycles that are keeping us from moving forward? Yesterday, we talked about blaming other people. A pattern of never taking responsibility. Listen, if you have left 5 churches and 12 jobs, tried to counsel a man one time who struggling financially in his family, they were going through hard times, and he was job to job to job. And he's sitting across from my desk, and he's telling me how he's getting ready to quit this next job because the boss there doesn't honor him or respect him and is giving him the junk work and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I just said, listen, I'm talking with you as much grace as I can. But could the common denominator, the fact that you've had 12 jobs in 3 years, maybe not be every other boss and every other HR department? Could it maybe be you? He never came back for counseling after that. Because sometimes people aren't willing to acknowledge that I'm the common denominator. If every friend group you're a part of implodes, only so long can you say, well, it's them, and then they did this thing, and it's that one over there. Eventually, you have to say, what's the common denominator in all these friend groups, right? Well, thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. You want to come say hi? No, he just wanted to give me his half-chewed pop-pop. Whatever. He's being quiet. So I'm just saying this is, you know, sometimes even in church life, I'm crying out to the Lord, and I'm saying, God, you know, we need breakthrough in this area. We need breakthrough in that area. And you know what the Holy Spirit said to me the other day? He said, what are you studying to learn to break through that area? And I said, well, God, you got to bring me right people, right leaders. And I'm pushing it off. God, we just don't have we need strong people in that area. We need strong people to lead that ministry. And he said, well, I need you to grow. I need you to grow in your leadership. I need you to grow in how you're leading this church. And I said, yes, sir. I'm applying back for Valor Christian College online campus cohort this year to grow in that. I 100% am. Because again, at some point, I got to look back on me and say, you know what? If I can blame everybody else. But at some point, I got to turn the mirror back on me and say, listen, am I leading my teams? Am I leading our church? Am I leading people to grow? Am I leading people to invest? Am I leading people into a faith that causes them to serve and to impact our community? Or am I going to go in my office and slam the door and blame everybody else and it's everybody else's? Come on, you understand what I'm saying? We do these things. It's your husband's fault. It's your wife's fault. It's your kids. It's everybody else. And I'm not saying that other people don't play a role. I'm saying is you will never break the cycle because it always takes two. You will never break the cycle or the pattern until you get real about your involvement in the situation, right? So some of the cycles that we often drift in are emotional, anxiety, fear, shame, or we fall into these cycles that are relational. We become codependent. We operate in unforgiveness, or we are absolute control freaks where we have to control everything. You know what the root cause of control is? Shame. People who often battle shame are some of the most controlling people. Yes. Hey, Bobby, you want to come say hi? Say hi, come here. Oh, he said hi over there. All right. But when you have shame, you want to say hi? All right, come on up, buddy. There you go. You want to say hi? Okay, there you go. But when you have shame in your life, you fear people exposing you, and obviously most of the time, 90% of the time, the shame is.
I want daddy bone.
You want daddy bone? All right, well, let's get down, and I give you daddy bone, okay? Hey, guys, this is live. This is how life happens, and this is what's going on. You want to find Blippi?
No.
No? Okay. Well, here, you can watch it. All right, there you go. So oftentimes, sorry about the delay. Sarah's telling me to fix his hair. He's getting a haircut today. It is what it is. Anyway, oftentimes when you have shame, in order to feel like you're covering your shame, like I don't want anyone to find out whatever you're ashamed about, you know, you operate in fear. And out of that fear, you end up being controlling. You end up trying to control people, control situations. But it's rooted out of, I'm really full of shame. So I'm going to fear people finding out what I'm ashamed about, that I'm not good enough, that I'm whatever. And then so I'm going to try to control the environment. I'm going to control people. I'm going to control the narrative. I'm going to keep people where I feel like they're at a distance or I'm above them. And so again, you have to be really, really keen at listening to the Holy Spirit of, God, why am I a control freak? Why is these patterns happening in my life? Why can't I just let stuff go? Why can't I let people go? Why can't I just, if people are going to do what they're going to do, why can't I just let them, right? And sometimes the patterns or the cycles are spiritual laziness. We've never grown in self-discipline to get into the Word, to pray consistently, to read our Bibles, to attend church, to start those healthy patterns in our life. Spiritual laziness. Or guilt. Something happened in your life you're ashamed about, you have guilt about. Or inconsistency. You just haven't started healthy patterns. Listen, you cannot change what you refuse to confront.
Mama.
You gotta be, watch this. This is daddy talking, okay? We must name the pattern before you break the pattern. We must learn to name it before we can break it. So, why do cycles persist? Excuse me. John 5:6. When Jesus saw him lying there, he had said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" I talked about this last Wednesday, two Wednesdays ago at our Wednesday midweek service. But this is the man laying at the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus comes up to a lame man that had been evident. Jesus said, it said in the scripture that Jesus discerned he had been there a long time. And literally said to the man, "Do you want to be made well?" A crazy thing to say. Well, obviously, Jesus, we would know the answer. But Jesus asked this question because he wanted this man to cut through the dysfunction that he had been comfortable in for 38 years. and ask him. And guess what his response was? His response was, but master, I have no man. I have no one to help me. There's no one here to get me in the water. What is he doing? He's pushing the blame on everybody else. Why? He had grown comfortable in his dysfunction. He had been around people who had the same condition that he had for 38 years. And you might say, well, that's not a fair assessment. There's another man who was lame, and he surrounded himself with friends who weren't in the same condition. And guess what? Those friends opened the roof of the house that Jesus was preaching at, lowered the man in front of Jesus, and he received a miracle. Both men were lame. One was surrounded by people who did not have the same affliction, and the other one was surrounded by people who had the same problem that he had. What am I saying? Is if you want to break out of the cycles, you have to assert, I can't hang around negative people if I'm trying to break negativity. Come on, if I'm trying to break a drug addiction problem, I can't hang around people who have the same problem as me. If I'm trying to get out of gossip, then I might have to remove myself, you know, from people who have no other agenda than to gossip and backstab and get, you know, start talking negative about everybody else. Why? Because as long as you stay in that cycle and around people who are just as dysfunctional as you are, you all you will do is pat each other on the back and approve of each other's dysfunction. Oh, girl, that's not your fault. If they would have done better, if they would have treated you right, if they, and all they're doing is affirming your dysfunction. But when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, that's what happened to the Israelites. They got sick and tired of being sick and tired, so they finally broke the mold so that they could walk into the promised land. This man was blaming others for where he was. And as long as you stay in that cycle, come on, you're going to stay right where you are. The enemy can't stop your calling. Here's the thing. The enemy, and I said this to y'all yesterday, the enemy can't stop your calling or your destiny. So what does he try to get you to do? To stay in a cycle. To stay in a pattern. 99.9% of the enemy's strategy is, listen, if he's trying to just throw all kind of random stuff at you every day, come on, that's time consuming. He's not God. He's not omnipresent, right? Like he can't be everywhere at all. But what he can do is he can just set a pattern up in your life and walk away and move on to the next person. And unless you break that pattern, you will self-destruct. You will miss your destiny. You will miss your, and I've said this to you before, but Satan's goal isn't even to get you to sin. It's to get you to be ineffective in your calling, because he understands that we're here for an assignment and for a purpose. And as long as he can get you to be ineffective, he knows that they will never fulfill the call and the assignment of God on their life. So if I can get them broken and to get them to stay in a continual pattern, I will get them to be ineffective and never fulfill the call, plan, purpose of God. And if it's the right cycle or pattern, watch, he'll cause that pattern to go down from generation to generation to generation. So one thing of trauma can now keep an entire family line in a pattern of brokenness, never fulfilling their individual calls and purposes of God. Why? Because of one thing that the enemy did. But come on, I got some people who are ready to rise up in this hour that says, no more, not me, not my house, not my children. We're breaking the cycles. We're breaking the patterns. It's stopping with me. What you won't confront, your children will have to. What you refuse to break in the spirit and stop a pattern and stop a cycle, your children will have to. Consider that, man. We got to break these patterns. But thankfully, we have God's power to break the cycle. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You are not a prisoner to your past. You are not chained to your past. The old you does not have to define you. God does. The trauma that started the pattern doesn't have to define you. God does. The brokenness inside that's caused you to go from one unhealthy relationship to another healthy relationship does not have to define you. You can break the cycle, turn to God, and let him make you a new creation, a new person. Again, Romans 12, 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. True transformation happens when your life, when your thought life changes. True transformation happens when we change what we're thinking. Again, when we continue to see ourselves as a victim, it will keep us in a pattern of being victimized. Why? The Bible calls it familiar spirits. A victim is always on the search, even if you don't mentally assent to it. A victim is always on the search for the person who is the victimizer. And the victimizer is always on a search for a person that they can keep under their thumb and create a victim of. Why? And it's not that you're really walking around thinking, oh, I'm looking for the most unhealthy person that I can be in friendship or relationship with or get married to. No, it's hot. Yep. But what we do is out of that brokenness, if we're broken and we feel less than, then often what we're attracted to is a person who's over flattery and promising you the world and makes you feel like, you know, they've got you. But usually a victimizer is somebody who wants to paint that picture of themselves. So what are they doing? They're attracting that kind of person until the tables turn. And now you're under their thumb. Now they are your identity. Now you can't break free. Come on, I know I'm going deep this morning with the kid on my lap and at 8:30, but this is good. So what do we got to do? We got to change our mind and we got to start filling it with the word of God and realizing I am not a victim. I am not on the search for any man or woman to fill what only God can fill. I don't care if my dad didn't accept me or my mother rejected me. I am the child of God. I am his beloved. He is my God. I am of his tribe. I am his child. He's preparing a place in heaven for me right now. So I'm not finding my fulfillment any longer. Do you see what happens? You're changing your mind. And next time those feelings of brokenness or those feelings of emptiness that you just want to mask and hide through whatever device, right? Or I should say not device, whatever vice. We stop that pattern of thinking and we say, this vice will have me no more. This pattern will be broken. You can't live a new life and think the same way as you did before. You have to break that pattern. Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. The Spirit empowers us to make new choices. What is it, buddy?
Mommy.
You want mommy? Mommy's watching on the TV. Say hi, Mom. So we have to walk with the Spirit daily. Let me give you real quick, because I think I'm coming to the end of patience here with this little one. Some practical steps to break cycles in your life. Number one, renounce the lie. There's a beautiful old song from the 80s. I think Don Melwin sang it. You can look it up. But it says, I have believed in a lie that you were unable to help me. But now, O Lord, I see my wrong. Yield my heart and show yourself strong. And I always love that song because that's what happens is we believe the lie that he is unable to help us. So we stay stuck. We stay in a pattern. We stay broken. We stay defeated simply because we believe a lie that God cannot help us. We renounce the lie that we are stuck. We renounce the lie that we're broken. We renounce the lie that we are defeated or are a victim. And we renounce the lie. So you got to figure out what's the cycle and what's the lie attached to that cycle. And we renounce it. You'll never be free if you continually have a thought pattern that just says, well, this is who I am. No, you figure out what is the lie that's causing you to believe what you're believing. And you break that in Jesus' name. You say, I renounce that. I am not a victim. I am not empty. I am not worthless. Whatever's causing you to run to that vice, you break it in Jesus' name. Number two, you replace that lie with truth. Jesus said to the man who was at the pool of Bethesda, he said, listen, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing comes upon you. The Bible says that when a spirit leaves, it's looking or a new home, and if it can't find one, it'll come back. And if it comes back, it'll be worse than ever. So what do? When we renounce a lie and we break agreement with a strategy or a plan of the enemy, what do? We replace that lie with truth, right? That's why John 8:32 says, you will know the truth, and the truth will be what sets you free. If I'm stuck in a pattern, it simply means I don't have a revelation of the truth that I need to be set free. So what do I have to do?
You want that back? All right.
I have to figure out what is the lie, and I got to renounce the lie and replace it with the truth of what God says about that situation. And number three, I have to set new habits. That man had to get out away from that pool, away from those people who were just as broken as he was, that he had stayed with for 38 years. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You have to set new patterns in your life. You're going to break out. And number four, you have to seek, don't do that, that's cucky. You have to seek accountability. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. Sometimes you just have to come to a trusted brother or sister and say, listen, here's the area that I'm struggling in. I need you to hold me accountable. I need you to check with me. I need you to check on me. I need you to ask me, how are you doing in this area? Find out if I'm being truthful. I need to have accountability. And number five, the last thing, guard your gates. What you allow in your mind, your ears, and your eyes will either free you or feed your bondage. It will either feed freedom or feed bondage. What are you listening to? What are you looking at? What are you speaking? What are you saying? What's coming into your gates, your eyes, your ears, your spirit, your soul? It's either feeding your freedom or it's feeding your bondage. Be very careful when it comes to your gates, what you're hearing, what you're seeing. And then number six, the final thing. Philippians 1:6 says, be confident of this, that he who began the good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Know that God finishes what he starts. Know that if he began the good work, he's going to bring it to completion. So you might mess up, you might have setbacks, but come on, you don't run in shame. You run back to the Father who began the good work and promised to bring it to completion. In Jesus' name, amen. You say amen? You say amen? No, no amen? All right, well, let me pray for you today. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that while today is a different type of day, Lord, we thank you for victory and we thank you for freedom. Father, we thank you that your desire for us is not to stay stuck, not to stay in a pattern, but your desire for us is to walk in complete, total victory in Jesus' name. So today, Father, we submit to you every cycle that we can see, a pattern that we are in, and we ask you, Heavenly Father, to reveal those patterns and those cycles to us. Help us to cast them to you and help us to discover the lie that's been feeding that cycle or that pattern, that we can renounce it, turn from it, and begin to replace it with the truth of your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. Well, thanks for being on with me and Bob today. And he did pretty good considering, right? But thanks for being on with me and Bob today. It is always good. Now, remember, next week, we are starting our share-a-thon all week long. So we're going to come live. Obviously, we're going to continue our Good Morning Live, but we're going to do some extra lives throughout the week next week and bring you teaching and help see God do a miracle in Pioneer Television, because we've been growing and now we need to increase our infrastructure to make sure we can house all of that and keep it going. Bye. So thanks for being with me today. You want to say bye? You know, wave, say bye.
Bye.
All right. Thanks for being on today. It's been a pleasure. I'll see you this Sunday, 10 a.m. at Hope City Church. Be blessed.